Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution, formerly known as Medicine on Call. Today we're going to talk with Dr. Joe Newsma. He is a toxicologist, and a doctor who has been on the front line of what's going on with Big Pharma and how we need to actually take control of our health. I think my mantra has always been on the show, follow the money, and Dr. Joe is, I think he's right in line with me. Not everybody should be on medication, and we have to start really weighing the benefits and the risks and have more power over what we put in our bodies. And, you know, we're in a time now where there's a virus, the coronavirus, which is out there, and I wanted to have a show that talked common sense about the virus so people can make their own decisions and actually empower themselves to care for themselves and take their power back. So, Dr. Joe, I want to thank you so much for coming on today. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Dr. George. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share a really sensible perspective on our range of topics that we plan on talking about in the next few minutes.
Excellent. Well, first, let's get to the foundation. How did you pick toxicology as a specialty, and what led you to the work you're doing now?
Well, I had always grown up thinking that I would go into medicine, and I was a pre-med student in the late 80s. And at the time when I was finishing undergrad, I had a very average GPA, and I applied to 8 medical schools and 2 graduate programs. I ended up getting into 2 graduate programs, and at the time I applied to the graduate programs, I was working for Dow Chemical in Midland, Michigan at the time. And I was exposed to the chemical industry side of things. So when medical school wasn't panning out, then I got into the 2 graduate programs. So I ended up going to the University of Colorado School of Pharmacy and ended up getting my PhD in toxicology and doing mechanistic research on chemicals. And then after I graduated from getting my PhD, I applied for a real job. I did not even bother to try to get a postdoc, and I landed that job in the pharmaceutical industry working for the generics division of Novartis. And Novartis is one of the major pharmaceutical companies, and I worked for them for 6 years before I realized that when in corporate America they ask you a question and seemingly want your opinion, they don't really want your opinion. Pharma companies want employees that do what they're told and keep their mouth shut. And it took me 6 years to figure out that when someone asks me a question, I tell them what I'm thinking. So I got out of pharmaceutical and into my own practice with Superior Toxicology and Wellness, and in working for myself for the last 20 years, I've been much happier because I don't have people asking me questions and not wanting to know the answer. Because as you'll find out in the next hour, when I'm asked a question, I'm going to let you know what I'm thinking. And good, bad, controversial, mainstream, alternative, it's what I'm thinking. And I'll give you the reason why I'm thinking that. And it's really a refreshing perspective to get that type of opinion on some of these topics that are very relevant today. So that's the long and the short of where I got where I was going real quick. But I know for a fact that I'm glad I didn't end up going to medical school, because the route that I took with the mechanistic research that I've done and the extensive experience I have in the pharmaceutical industry is has paid dividends for beyond my dreams. And because I've worked in pharma for 30 years and I've seen the generic side of the business and I've seen the branded side of the business and I've seen drug development and I've seen all of the good, the bad, and the ugly that the pharmaceutical industry has to offer, I can speak with authority as to what's going on in that industry and why there are some good things and some bad things and some, wow, why is this happening? type of a thing.
Well, I definitely want to delve into that because I think it's one of those industries that has so much power. And I mean economic, I mean legislative. It's outsized for what they're, you know, for the size of the industry. They just control healthcare. They control medicine. They control medical education. They control the ideas and what patients want. And it's all psychological. You know, it's like the only, they try to put themselves out the only game in town. And the system is rigged in their favor. I mean, versus a supplement. And I just want to reiterate, just because something is prescribed doesn't mean it actually does what it says it's going to do. And they have a different standard than a supplement, don't they? I mean, they get to... Please tell us.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the very first thing that I tell anybody that I'm speaking to in regards to pharmaceutical products, because I've been in the chemical industry and I've been in the pharmaceutical industry, pharmaceuticals are really specialized chemicals. And what I mean by that is pharmaceuticals are chemicals that are designed to have an effect on the human body. And regardless of exposure route, if there is an exposure, that chemical is going to have the desired or designed effect 100 times out of 100. And I made my living for a long time in pharmaceuticals by writing occupational exposure limits. In a nutshell, what that is I would write the limits of a drug product that the person making the drug in the factory could be exposed to before there was any increased risk of adverse effects. So it was employee safety to make sure that the people that were making the drugs went home at night with the same capacities that they arrived at work with in the morning. So I know for a fact that these pharmaceutical products, whether it's a therapeutic level or lower, can have this designed effect in the human body.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a living on assessing chemical exposure. So, and these pharmaceutical products are designed to have an effect on the human body. And so when they're prescribed a drug product, usually for one particular thing, that drug product is going to do that thing. But in addition, it's going to do a whole host of other things. The mantra in the drug industry is today's side effects lead to tomorrow's therapy. One of the classic things, I mean, it's Merck's hair loss drug product that, I mean, you know, I mean, it, when they started giving this drug to men for prostate issues, they started growing hair. So now they market it for hair loss. I mean, today's side effects lead to tomorrow's therapy. So the drug companies pay attention to everything that a drug does in addition to what they want it to do for somebody, but they don't really highlight that to the poor chap that's actually swallowing those tablets.
That's a wonderful analogy. And also, when you think about how these studies are made, you know, you as, you know, we're medical students and doctors, you know, when they give you these studies, you have to figure out who's underwriting them, right? And who stands to gain from the product coming out? There doesn't seem to be very many, you know, innocent bystanders, you know, making objective decisions about these medications that come on market. And I have a question mark about that. I remember sitting through a conference and one of the drug reps, one of the CEOs of a company got up and said, our products work 10% of the time and 10% of the people. Well, that's not very much, is it? But they're getting the approval to put that thing on the market as if it's God's gift to patients. Maybe God's gift in some instances. I think it's also God's gift to the trial lawyers, too, frankly.
Well, the other dirty secret to the pharmaceutical company is that with every successful drug, with every tablet or capsule that's sold, part of that profit is socked away into a litigation fund. So when the class action lawsuit hits for unreasonable levels of adverse effects, the drug company already has this war chest to survive that onslaught of litigation. And it has to be that way because the way the drug approvals happen, you know, there's three phases to drug approval. Phase one is, let's put this in a few people to make sure we don't kill anybody. And when they do that, phase two is, let's put this into a few hundred to maybe 1,000, 2,000 people to get some pharmacokinetics on the drug so we have a pretty good idea that it's doing what we say it's doing and it's doing it where we think it's doing it. And then phase three is, okay, let's run this up into tens of thousands to maybe 100,000 people. And it's that big jump between phase two and phase three where they may begin to see some emergence of these subtle adverse effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those trends that the trial lawyers, you know, they start drooling to go after the pharmaceutical companies and gather their cases and put together these class action lawsuits because of just, it's really a design flaw in how the drug products are approved and how the research studies are conducted because they don't see enough people to know that they're completely safe before they start marketing these drug products.
That's a good point. And let me ask you a side question. The people that they test these on, this is a pretty monolithic group of people, right? They don't necessarily test it on all races. They don't necessarily test it on children, right? And they just extrapolate as if it's the best thing for everybody. Is that correct?
That is correct. Historically, that is exactly how it's happened. There is a trend in the last few years to try to be more inclusive, get the equal number of both males and females, get equal representation across races, and get equal numbers, or if they're specifically going after indications in pediatric patients, mm-hmm. then they need to have these studies conducted in pediatric patients. But that's only recently, and recently I mean maybe the last 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
Before that, what you said is exactly what was happening.
Man, it boggles my mind that people are, as physicians too, were given this power to write prescriptions, but we really don't understand what we're writing. And it's a miracle that more people are not affected in an adverse way by the medications that we write.
It is. It really is a miracle. And I can speak to that because I was educated in a school of pharmacy. So that's drug specialist. And I'm very close with a pharmacist, been married to her for 25 years. And I see the front lines of pharmacy every day. And she's done hospital pharmacy. She's done retail pharmacy. And in every single case, the pharmacists are working thin. They don't have enough resources. They don't have enough time in the day. And they're supposed to cover the physicians who have one semester of pharmacology and training,
mm-hmm.
and they really have absolutely the minimum training on these drug products that they're prescribing, and they're only as smart, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, this is completely my opinion, but they're only as smart as the latest drug rep that sat across their desk.
Or they're only as smart as their own conscience, right? I don't subscribe to my drug reps telling me what to do, ever. They better prove it.
That's good.
I was never like that. But imagine, though, we're now having the healthcare field expand to mid-level providers, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, who I don't know what their level of training is. If ours is only a month, I wonder what theirs is. So the drug companies probably have more power than they ever have because the people who are writing these prescriptions are less educated. No, not that the physicians are great, but imagine.
I agree with you. And the fact of the matter is these drugs aren't completely safe. And mm-hmm. the people that really lose are the folks that blindly trust their healthcare providers that they know what they're talking about when they write their next set of prescription. And Western-trained physicians, and by that what I mean is the whole field of medicine since post-World War II to present, is really driven in a what drug can we prescribe to solve these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in solving conditions or cures. They want long-term customers. So it's like, what can we put folks on that they'll be on for long-term and they can keep coming back and seeing us and we can monitor and maintain and take care of symptoms without really curing anything because then the machine continues.
I totally agree with that. And I don't want to, we need to take our first break because people need to digest that because you just said a mouthful.
Yeah.
So let's take our first break. You're listening to Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're talking with Dr. Joe, somebody who is familiar intimately with how the pharmaceutical industry works and the mindset of big pharma and the mindset of healthcare professionals on the front line. And before the break, you know, I think you did an excellent job of explaining the nuances of how little we know and how many prescriptions are written out there that we don't know about. I want to change gears slightly because the coronavirus is, it's novel. It's a novel virus compared to SARS and compared to the original coronavirus. Can you go into a little bit about what is it exactly? What makes it different than the initial coronavirus? There's a lot of stories out there, whether it came from animals and bats and markets and China. I have a question mark about it, frankly.
Sure. The coronavirus is the very specific virus that everybody's talking to right now is referenced as it's the 2019-nCoV virus. That's the specific name. The coronavirus is actually a family name. It refers to a larger group of viruses. There's actually over 100 different types of coronavirus. And where the coronavirus family fits on the whole scale of infectivity, if you will, it's really less clinically severe than a SARS virus, which is SARS stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome. SARS was big in 2008, you'll recall, and they're all in the same general family, but the coronavirus that's coming out of China today has some unique characteristics, and if you've really dug into it and done some research, there are some alarming trends that are coming to light about this particular virus. There's a lot of information out there that could send you down rabbit holes. Some of it could be good. Some of it is completely off the wall. And if you have the wherewithal to sort through all of the information that's out there, the trends that come across is that the coronavirus that's coming out of China right now is highly infectious compared to the normal run-of-the-mill coronavirus. And the normal coronavirus doesn't infect the way that this one is jumping from human to human to human. It's as if it has been, if you will, tuned to recognize those specific traits on humans to jump to a new host and infect that new host. And the little background on viruses, the virus is able to jump from a species like a bat or a snake or a monkey, like what you've heard or read, the species share certain proteins, which are marker cells on the cell surface, and those proteins can be common or extremely similar between species and a human that share those same proteins. And it's those recognition proteins that are expressed on the surface of the cell, which allows the virus to bind to that protein, and then once it's bound on that cell surface, it's internalized into the cell, and then the virus replicates in that cell like crazy until there's more virus than cell, and then it bursts, and then the virus goes and finds more of those cell marker cells, then that's how you get your viral load up to a point where it kills the host, whether that's a bat, a snake, a pig, a monkey, or a human, and that's where that virus is contagious. With the coronavirus in this particular round, there's an incubation period of at least 14 days before there's any symptoms. So if someone is exposed to this virus, that means the virus gets on board and starts replicating in their body, and every time they sneeze and there's droplets of moisture going out of their body from any number of places that come in contact with somebody else's body, and then that's what spreads this virus. And it just general good personal hygiene and barrier protection rules. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, don't touch your eyes, watch out for crowded areas, and keep your nutrition and rest and supplements up to speed. You're going to have the best chance of fending off this viral infection. So far, I read a headline yesterday that there's like 17,000 infections that are known with about 360 deaths. So that gives it about a 2% fatality rate right now. Is that going to change? Most likely. Now, as far as the coronavirus is concerned, some of the more outlandish theories that I've heard and I'll share is that it has been designed to go through Chinese populations in particular. I have not confirmed that. I don't know the truth to that, but I saw a headline. And the other headline that I saw is that it's definitely a weaponized virus that came from a lab in Canada, and it happened a couple years ago, and I don't know the truth of that either. I can tell you with pretty good certainty that the virus is behaving like it has been tuned to infect people. That could mean that it is possibly a weaponized virus, but I don't have 100% proof of that. And the fact that it's tuned to Caucasians, I don't have any proof of that, or Chinese rather than, but the fact of the matter that these viruses can be tuned and can be optimized to recognize various marker proteins, those theories are certainly possible. What I don't know about is how probable. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely does. I know we have a minute before we're going to take our break, but I want to ask you about another headline that I actually read, that the Chinese are treating this illness with HIV medication. And that's unusual. I've never heard of that being used to treat any kind of a cold virus, coronavirus, or anything like that, and that there are receptors or DNA, or I should say receptors, that that are similar to the HIV virus. Have you heard that one?
I did, actually. I saw that that this virus, the coronavirus, is actually responding to HIV antivirals and some of the SARS antivirals. And that's standard practice in the pharmaceutical industry. When there's a new infectious agent that's out and infecting people, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go back over their entire shelf of possibilities and run every possibility against this new infectious agent to see if anything interferes with that viral replication, if they can stop the recognition, or that they can stop the propagation, or they can stop the bursting of the cell, which then explodes more viral load all over the organism. If they can stop any one of those different parts of the pathway, then they're going to have a drug that could potentially be useful against this new infectious agent. And that's where they're going to start, because it's faster than developing something from brand new.
That's it. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Let's take our second break. Welcome back. We're speaking with Dr. Joe. He is the CEO and Chief Toxicologist at Superior Toxicology and Wellness, and it's an international scientific consulting firm that he founded. Part of his work has also been to work with municipal treatment plants to improve the quality of water, which is absolutely imperative these days. I don't drink water out of the tap. I don't even give it to my cat. I actually filter it and do reverse osmosis and all sorts of stuff on it. So I definitely want to talk about water in a second, but I want to segue from our conversation about virus and how, you know, the makeup of it and how it's in, how people get infected. Briefly, can you go over how people can protect themselves? I know nutrition is a foundation, but what would you recommend that people do to help themselves avoid and also help limit if they do get exposed?
Sure. To avoid viral infection, the best thing people can do is avoid crowds. Because if you're not around people, you're not going to be exposed to somebody who already has this virus, who is sneezing, coughing, hacking, and spreading that virus into other folks' breathing zones. And if you're not in those very densely populated areas, you're not going to touch a surface that was touched with other contaminated hands, and then touch your eyes or your mouth or other spots where that viral transmission could then infect you. So avoidance of highly densely populated areas is the number one strategy. And then barrier. Wash your hands, wear gloves, wear a breathing mask. And all of these types of things will certainly increase your chances of avoiding infection. If you have the inopportune occurrence to be infected, then you need to absolutely fight it with everything you can. Nutrition is a huge part of it. Make sure you're getting the right food. Make sure your body is up to snuff with defense mechanisms. C60 is a huge part that could help everybody as a supplement. And just making sure you get enough rest every single night, and making sure that you're not depleting your resources by putting yourself into massive oxidative stress and inflammation. That's my best recommendation.
Well, let's talk about C60, because before we started the show, I told you that I take it as well. And I learned about it online listening to a podcast, and I was really astounded that it's like the best antioxidant and to control oxidative stress and scavenge free radicals. I think that is known. Is that the best way to describe it?
It is. It is the best way to describe it. It's the best antioxidant on the planet. It's like over 100 times better than vitamin E as far as scavenging radicals. And the best type of description is to say everybody fights the side effects of breathing. The side effects of breathing is oxidative stress. Your body creates oxygen radicals, which are really just little drill bits that drill through tissue, if you will. That's the easiest way to think about it. And it happens everywhere in your body. It starts in your lungs and goes throughout the body. And the body is designed to fight this on a regular basis. But if you're taking a supplement like C60, the planet's best antioxidant, it goes around and puts out all of this fire that is oxidative stress. And the human body is designed to do what it needs to do. And every single day, the human body is spending resources to fight this oxidative stress. And if the body doesn't have to fight the oxidative stress, the body ends up with excess resources that were usually fighting oxidative stress, but because the C60 is there and doing that job, the body puts those resources to what it does best, and that's heal. And the body knows which fire is the biggest one and where it needs to put those resources to heal, to make sure that it can continue living, extend life, protect its telomeres, you know, whatever it is that the body needs to do. If there's lung issues, we've seen C60 help things like asthma, help things like type 1 and type 2 diabetes. It helps protect your liver. It helps protect your nervous system. People on C60 have seen tremendous turnarounds in things like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. And there's one documented case that there was absolute complete reversal of advanced macular degeneration. So C60 and its antioxidative effect are creating opportunities for people to take charge of their health by utilizing the body's own design to heal itself when it doesn't have to fight oxidative stress on a daily basis. That's how C60 works, and that's why it's such a wonderful supplement.
You know, the other thing besides what you just mentioned is that it kind of recharges itself. It uses it, the more if you take that dose, it works over and over, like multiple times, right? It's not just a one-off and it's out of your system. It just keeps working, which I thought that was pretty astounding, actually.
Exactly. It one C60 molecule can absorb over 100 free radicals. So, I mean, it's tremendous how it works. And the C60 was discovered by a scientist by the name of Buckminster Fuller. So you've heard the Buckyballs or Fullerenes. Both of those are nicknames for what he discovered. It's a spherical form of carbon, which in that spherical form can absorb the oxygen radicals at every carbon bond in that molecule. Mm. And those things, depending upon formulation, you can get them to different parts of the body. You can get them to your liver. You can get them across the blood-brain barrier. You can get them to your lungs. And in these massive battlefields of oxidative stress, the body's secret weapon really is carbon-60. Mm-hmm. And that fighting that oxidative stress then renews the resources the body can use to heal. And because there's that oxidative stress is not number one, boom, then the body focuses on what really is the number one problem. And there's evidence, you know, I wrote the first paper on why C60 works, and people can find that at if they go to livelongerlabs.com. That's the C60 that I know intimately, and you can pull that paper. There's two versions of it: one for really the non-scientific, and one that has a little bit more scientific meat to it for the people that want a little bit more mechanistic information. And it's that first testimonial, that first documentary white paper, if you will, that really describes the what T-60 is, why it's important, how it works, and all of the potential benefit that people can get. And that C-60, once it's been on board and it pushes your body out of homeostasis, basically you take enough of the C-60 to put out the oxidative stress fire, then you're going to be able to allow your body to heal in different areas, and you're going to see those benefits of C-60. And if somebody really wants to dig into that, that paper is a good place to start. LiveLongerLabs.com.
People definitely need to go and read that. I mean, when you think about what you just said versus how we started the show about big pharma and the chemicals that they make having a, you know, I like to call it a controlled poison, right? Because if you go above the amount that you're supposed to take, it's going to have a detrimental effect in most cases. Is there a toxicity to C60? I don't think there is, right?
I have not been able to find any evidence of any toxicity of any level of C60. So as a toxicologist, the mantra is everything in moderation. But when I did the research into C60, I did not find a level that produces any toxic effect. And I mean, coming from a toxicologist in the pharmaceutical industry, where there's a toxic level of everything, C60 is that single thing that I have not been able to quantitatively say, here's the limit that you don't want to go over.
That says a lot. That's a ton right there.
And the fact of the matter is that there's so many good things that could potentially happen with C60 that you can potentially give somebody that's on multiple drug products, somebody that is on a half a dozen drugs, you know, one for blood pressure, one for the side effects of the blood pressure medicine, one for prostate issues, one for the side effects of the prostate issue, you know, whatever it is. You can have them start on C60, and within a couple months' time, you can have them go back to their healthcare provider and say, prove to me that I still need to be on these pharmaceutical products. And more times than not, the fact of the matter is they can be off of those pharmaceutical products.
I mean, that's what it should be about. It's about fixing the problem, not just medicating the symptom. I mean, it's a mantra in my office. I truly believe that. If I do it, I try to lead my patients down that same path. And there really isn't a lot of things out there that helps the body help itself like you just described. I personally think, like you do, I'm sure, the body is self-healing. But I don't think before C60 was really discovered that there was anything that could really supercharge that particular ability of the body. Can you think of anything?
No. I mean, C60 is really, there are a couple. And, you know, and the founder at Live Longer Labs has taken C60 and put it into black seed oil. And black seed oil comes from the herb. It's called Nigella sativa. And it is it's an herb that's been used for thousands of years in the rest of the world. And by putting carbon 60 in black seed oil, black seed oil itself is very protective of organs, the liver, the lungs, the kidneys, and it's antiviral, it's antibiotic, it's really, it has good effects on the cardiovascular system, it's anti-inflammatory, it's anti-cancer, and this is, I mean, you can find paper upon paper upon paper. If you were to Google black seed oil or Nigella sativa and look for therapeutic effects of this, you know, it's a natural product, and the guys that Live Longer Labs have put C60 in black seed oil, and they took the world's best antioxidant and really upped the game by making it better with the black seed oil. And they're going one step further, and this is going to be available at the end of February. They're adding another natural product called curcumin. And curcumin in and of itself is also protective of all kinds of organs, and it's also, it's just very similar to black seed oil. So when you combine those three ingredients, carbon 60, black seed oil, and curcumin, you're really getting some very powerful natural products that can provide, you know, stopping just short of therapeutic benefit, but can provide benefits to the body and provide the mechanism to get around multiple drug products. When people are on those multiple drug products, the very first thing that I would recommend is, after finding out what drugs are on and why they're on those drugs, is to say, well, we need to try this. We need to try C60 Complete, and we need to see after a couple months if you still need to be on those drug products. And that's the whole basis behind my, really my program that I call HOPE. You know, it's health optimization prescription evaluation. And I've helped a lot of people get off a lot of pharmaceutical products. And, you know, it's kind of ironic because I've made a living in the pharmaceutical industry, but yet I think pharmaceuticals are the answer maybe 1% of the time.
I agree with you.
And it's a net.
Well, I think also we have to look at the evidence-based medicine side of it, right? It's big pharma driving what's quote-unquote standard of care, and it's always a medication, never natural, that's part of the treatment regimen. And it's been ingrained. It's an algorithm now. I mean, you're an outlier almost if you decide, you know, let's try to do this without a drug. I mean, you have to kind of go undercover to do it almost, a functional medicine practice. But it's
right.
We need to take our power back to be advocates for our patients. What you just described, right. Everybody needs to go to your website and to your program. And let's take a small break because I want you to go over that again because I think it's integral to navigating this healthcare system. It's broken. And if they ever go single payer, God forbid, people are going to be on drugs to the nines until they put you in hospice. On that note, let's take our last break. You're listening to Living in the Solution. Welcome back. We are listening to Dr. Joe and learning about how there is a wealth of information and a whole world out there that doesn't mean that you'll need to have a written prescription, hopefully. And before the break, you were going over your program. How do people find that program? Do they go to a certain website? Is there a way to contact you to learn more about it?
Yes, I can tell you that. The HOPE program can be found primarily at my website, which is superiortoxicology.com. Very simple. And you go to superiortoxicology.com and you click on the HOPE program button. And it takes people to a questionnaire form to just get some history on what their challenges are, what drugs they're on, and how long they've been on those drugs, and basically a history of what the drugs do for them and what the drugs do to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I work with those folks and make recommendations on what they can do to change their life. And in more times than not, the recommendations, when they're brought back to their physicians and presented to their healthcare providers, change these people's lives. They get their life back. They lose a lot of unnecessary side effects. And I'm one of my recommendations in most of these cases is you need to try the C60 supplement from Live Longer Labs. And I can tell you right now, my dad is on C60 from Live Longer Labs, and he was recently diagnosed with some lung fibrosis, and he's been on the C60 for, I would say, probably about 3 weeks now. And I talk to him every day and just ask him about his daily activities. He's 80 years old. He's a healthy 80 years old, but his lungs were beginning to become a problem. And I talked to him this week, and he went, you know, in his bowling league at 80 years old, he had a 596 series. And if you know anything about bowling,
I'm a bowler. That's an awesome series.
He's 80 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, he's been put on oxygen because of some lung fibrosis. And what he's discovering is that he's able to do more and more before he has to go back on the oxygen because of his oxygen saturation. And he's also finding that he's recovering faster and he's sleeping better. And it's all of these little things that I point out to him that are directly related to the C60. And it's because he's fighting that oxidative stress and his body is taking care of his lungs. So that's just a very close and personal example of how C60 has changed somebody close to my family. And, you know, if you go on Live Longer Labs and you click on the testimonials, you'll see case after case after case of people talking about what this drug product has done.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular supplement can get you off of the pharmaceutical product. And people end up on these pharmaceutical products because a doctor prescribes it, another doctor prescribes something else, maybe a third doctor prescribes something else, and no doctor ever takes the time to go back and say, well, what are you on this one for?
No.
And what are you on this one for?
Yeah.
And, well, if you take this one, you can't take this one, and that sort of thing. In all of the analysis I've ever done, I've only had one person where I couldn't get him off of one particular drug product because he'd had strokes before. And this particular drug product, if you get off of it, you have a very high likelihood of stroking and just dropping dead right there. So I recommended that he stay on that one. But the fact of the matter is this guy is still alive, and he's around the Live Longer Labs laboratory all the time. And he's 94 years old, still driving. And the best part about this is this guy, this 94-year-old guy, after getting off some of these drug products, he's had a couple heart attacks. You know, one of them's probably 30 years ago. One of them's probably 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But at 94 years old, he's got himself a 63-year-old girlfriend.
I love it. Live life, right?
You got to. You got to live life. But, you know, I love that example. And I asked him if I could share that. He says, as long as I don't say his name. But the fact of the matter is there is choice to dying. There really is alternatives to staying on all those drug products. And you can find it at SuperiorToxicology.com, or you can find it at Live Longer Labs. The HOPE program is there. Or you can just Google Dr. Joe for HOPE. And that website right there will point right back to the program. And there's multiple ways. We try to throw out a large funnel so that anybody that's looking for this program finds it.
Well, so, I think everybody owes it to themselves to think outside the box. I mean, I'm in a position where I might have to write a prescription for a patient, and it's $200 or $300, you know, and it's for, you know, ear itching or nasal congestion. So it's not a life-threatening thing, but they're just gouging patients 24/7. And if there is a natural way to cut inflammation so people can breathe better, or, you know, we have this coronavirus where it's toxic to the lung, it's attacking the lung, right? So if you have something like the C60 and the black seed oil that can give you some protection and some that can rev up your immune system. And this is not a show about vaccines, but I do have a question, if you can answer it, about vaccines and their make. You know, I don't know how much they're tested. Let's say the one for HPV vaccine, Gardasil and those things. They were put on the market as a fast track. They were never tested in people long term. So, I mean, we're mandating people take things that are untested. I don't know if that's kosher to do something like that. What's
up with
that?
I don't think that's a good idea at all. And with that particular vaccine in particular, the Gardasil, after reading that data set, I actually talked my pharmacist wife out of that particular vaccine for our children. A lot of the vaccines provide a very good opportunity to avoid debilitating diseases. But the fast track, not only vaccines, but fast track drugs in particular, all fast track means is that the pharmaceutical company pays a lot of money to get on the market faster. And it's obviously a better business decision to pay the fast track fees so that they can start selling that drug and reaping the benefits of drug sales than it is to pay that fast track fee. So they buy their way through the regulatory process to get those drugs on the market. And the fact of the matter is those particular problem products, I call it phase four drug development. It's tracking adverse effects. Mm-hmm. Those adverse effects have to be tracked and reported by physicians. And when they amass to a certain level, then those drug products are targeted for removal. And, you know, a great example of that is phenylpropanolamine. It's a drug just very similar to Sudafed, a nasal decongestant.
Right.
It came off the market in 2001, but it took 20 years of collecting adverse effects before they removed that particular drug from the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that phase four that eventually catches up with those drugs that got the fast track approval and maybe didn't have a thorough phase three where you're in 100,000 patients. So you can really evaluate what it does to people when the numbers are where they should be. So Gardasil in particular, it's not worth the risk in my expert opinion.
I absolutely agree.
My kids did not take that.
I,
but there are others that are very valuable.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's one size fits all. And to me, it's what's in the vaccine, the adjuvant. I don't know if I trust that per se either. I mean, they've got all sorts of things to ramp up your immune system. And I guess that could be another show. You know, aluminum is only one, right? They're putting in DNA, RNA, fetal tissue, all sorts of stuff is going in there now just to help boost the immune response. But what happens when it doesn't unboost and it goes haywire? I mean, so there's all sorts of things that I'm not a big fan of. I'd rather do something that is controlled and is inert and doesn't have a toxic effect like C60. That's not going to ramp up your immune system in a way that you cannot control. It's using the actual mechanism of your body self-healing and helping that work more efficiently. That's a complete different ballgame, don't you think?
You stated that very well. That is exactly what's going on. And just by removing the oxidative stress and letting your body program what needs to happen, and if your immune system needs a boost, that's what your body's going to do. If your lungs need some repair, that's what your body's going to do. If your liver needs to have some regeneration, that's what your body's going to do. If your eyes are suffering damage, that's where it's going to concentrate. And that's absolutely true, because the immune system is a very powerful thing. And you know this just by the devastating, debilitating effects of autoimmune disease. And that's when your immune system starts to turn on yourself and pick on the body as if it's a foreign substance. Mm-hmm. And just the devastating effects of autoimmune disease mirrors what a bad vaccine can do, because it gets your immune system and just sends it haywire. So that's what you need to think about when you're making these healthcare decisions for your loved ones. And the blind trust in the medical community is really something of the past. And it really has to be buyer beware, and you have to know, you have to educate yourself as to what decision you're making and why. And if you don't know or understand the material, you need to find somebody that does.
I could not have said it better. In the few seconds that we have left, tell us how we can get you onto your website and get to your program.
Sure. The HOPE program, Health Optimization Prescription Evaluation, can be found at SuperiorToxicology.com. The C60 supplementation can be found at LiveLongerLabs.com. Those are the two websites that can change your life.
Dr. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. I had a blast, and I can't wait to have you on so we can go into more detail.
I'm happy to come back, Dr. George, and I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's, like I said, it's a refreshing opinion that may not jive with what everybody thinks, but I'm willing to say it.
And I'm willing to put it out there, too, because I believe the same thing. On that note, thank you so much for listening to Living in Solution. Have a wonderful week.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.